When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, I'm Joss Stone. Thanks for joining me for A Cuppa Happy. I spent the last few years singing my songs in every country in the world and been lucky enough to meet incredible people from all walks of life. What really struck me is that no matter where we are, we're all on the same mission. We're all just trying to find our version of happy. So with this podcast, I'm going to be speaking to a whole host of people to dig deeper into the what, why, and how of this emotion we call happiness. I hope that with these conversations, you discover something to help you on your own quest for happiness, possibly change your mind on a few things, and along the way, share a good old laugh with me and my guests. Before we jump into the conversation, I just want you to know about another podcast that I think you're gonna love. If you like this one, you'll definitely like The Art of Happiness, hosted by the wonderful Arthur Brooks. Arthur is a Harvard professor and all-round genius. His podcast taps into the wealth of happiness research to teach us how to live life with more joy, satisfaction, and purpose. So I highly recommend you listen and subscribe to The Art of Happiness after you finish this episode, of course. Now, on to today's guest. He's an old friend of mine and somebody I've performed with and collaborated with on countless occasions. He's truly a soulful human being with a voice to match. He's also launched his own podcast, The Lamar Show, which is available now. Go check it out. On A Cuppa Happy, we talk about going back to basics with our happiness, learning to forgive yourself, and a whole lot more. I really hope you enjoy my chat with the one and only Lamar. Hello, darling.
Hello. Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
Right. I want to talk about this device that you've bought. It looks like a party.
It's not more special than your device.
Well, I don't know. This is purple, pink, blue.
I think your device is more impressive.
Yellow, orange. Do you?
I really do. It's very. It's very travel the world and tour around the place and get high quality stuff.
It's covered in dog hair, though.
It is covered in dog hair.
Yeah, I think that adds to it.
What dog is that? Like, that's not.
That's Maggie.
Is Maggie a white dog?
No, she's just got lots of colours.
That's not fur. That's not Maggie's fur then.
Yeah,
that's
it like is. Some white... It's fur of all different dogs.
Have you got a white
dogs.
Furry top?
No.
No, okay. I don't
this
know.
This is a Sherlock Holmes moment.
Yeah, I thought I was going to say Dusty, but
whose
it's clearly
fur
not Dusty.
Is on Joss's mic? Do you remember that show? Who would live in a house,
in a house like this?
This?
Yeah, what was it called?
Who would it's let somebody keyhole, right? into your home to film all of the details of your... Would
know.
You do that?
It's not for me. It's not really for me. However... in this day and age where privacy is much less, it's probably a...
It's a bit of a weird time now, isn't it?
It's a strange time.
With yes. privacy.
Yes. It's like you need to give more and more and more of yourself mm-hmm. in order to just to be a present, I guess.
Mm. Yeah. Did you prefer it back in the day when we didn't have to do that?
It's not... Do you know what it is? I think the time that you grow up, the period that you grow up in is what's always more familiar to you, you know? So for certain people, 80s music is the best. For certain people, 90s music, and et cetera, depending on when you were born.
That's so
and,
true.
And I think when I grew up, things were just a lot more private. Mm. And I'm an extremely private person anyway. So yeah, I prefer that. However, you know, it is nice to get some interaction. You know, it's just drawing the line, where that line is, how blurred it is what I find... The challenge.
It's funny. This morning Cody and I were talking about grieving online. You know, how
grieving online.
Yeah, because some people this year have passed, and we've noticed within our own family how people deal differently.
Yeah,
and how a lot of people go to their social media to grieve and put up pictures of the person that has died and do the eulogy online and to share that. And I think people get a lot of comfort from it.
Yeah.
Whereas I just would feel, I don't know. It's a really, really personal thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's different for everybody. Yeah,
exactly. I think everyone's different. I think, again, it comes down to the, maybe the time that you grew up, maybe.
Mm.
Me, I'm a person who probably internalizes more than I should.
A lot of men.
Yeah. Oh, is it? Yeah.
They do say.
Is that the common thread?
Men do that more than women, apparently.
Is it?
Yeah, apparently. Oh. And they also say men kill themselves more. So be careful of that.
What? Men kill themselves more?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, apparently.
I wonder why.
Not to be morbid.
I wonder why. Pressures?
Maybe it's not accepted to be emotional.
I see.
As much. But now I think it's more accepted because of things like, you know, people sharing their emotions online and, you know, they feel like maybe safer behind the keyboard.
Yeah.
But also they can be crazier behind the keyboard.
Yeah. I think, do you know what? I think any form of expression. I grew up in a Nigerian household. So children are seen, not heard. Yeah.
Oh,
there was
really?
A lot of love in my house, loads of love, but know your place. You have to know your place. So
was it very strict?
You're not expressing yourself like that, dude. I mean, you can speak up a little bit, but not too loud. Yeah. So
So how come you turned into the most amazing emoter?
I don't know.
How did that happen?
Do you know, I think music. I love music. Yeah. I grew up, it was a very standard, like, church African upbringing. So I guess that was my form of expression. Maybe because you express less in the house, you express more through music and through your voice and through singing and through, yeah.
Huh. Yeah. Where were you brought up?
In Tottenham. I grew up in Tottenham, London. Yeah.
In Tottenham.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk to somebody on this podcast about religion.
Yeah.
And I haven't really had that many people on that I can talk to about it. I feel like it's such a huge, huge, important thing for so many people's happiness. And it can be so detrimental to so many people's happiness.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So what's your experience? Do you have any words on that would help people to kind of be balanced in their view of it?
You know, I just think life is about balance.
Mm.
Your parents can only give you what your parents can give you because they've gone through their journey the way they've gone through it, and life has given them the cards that they've been dealt, and they've, you know, arrived at the point where they are, and they've done the best, hopefully, for you as a child. Initially, you should learn everything that they give you because they're giving it from love.
Yeah.
That's what they're trying to do. And then as you grow up, for me, I think once I started traveling, you know, once the music thing happened, I started traveling a lot and interacting with people. I'm quite a naturally inquisitive person anyway, so I like to talk to different. I love the way minds work.
Yeah.
And I find that people generally fall into a handful of categories. Mm-hmm. And I just love that expression. So I found that once I started traveling and seeing more people, then you start to separate what you're taught from your own experiences and what you think is right and wrong and relevant.
Because you're seeing people with different beliefs, you mean?
Yeah, you're seeing different people with different beliefs, I don't know. Sometimes you can, in religion, I think in religion, it gets bad when there's a them and an us.
Mm-hmm.
It should be just
a we.
Yeah, right, a we, yeah. So sometimes it can be, you know, even within religion, even within the same religion, let's say it's Christianity, there can be, I don't know, Catholic and then Protestant and then people who worship on Sundays only and there's Jehovah's Witness and there's, you know, there's so many different factors of it. But really, it's just one overruling rule, which is love. Just
be
love.
Be kind.
You know, yeah. So
care about each other.
Yeah, don't judge.
Love
don't,
thy neighbor.
There we go. It's the simplest rule.
Don't kill
rule,
each other.
There we go. The simplest rule and the hardest one to stick to is the first one, love everyone as you love yourself. Do you know how selfless that is? It is so selfless. So before you judge or before you point the finger at anyone, or would you point the finger at yourself? Just love and you'll receive that back. And I think if you can do that, instead of judging, instead of pointing the finger, then it kind of transcends everything.
Yeah.
You know, so I think growing up, I think that's the main thing I've seen. We all kind of want the same thing. Some food, some shelter, some happiness, someone to love us, maybe to experience as much of this world as we can.
Yeah.
And then we're going to go. So in that time, do you want to spend that time spreading negativity and, you know, being depressed or being sad? Or do you want to say, do you know what? I'm going to try and just love everyone and see what happens. And I find that whenever I try and do that, whenever I try and practice that, generally good things happen.
It's hard, isn't it?
It's very hard. It's so much harder than people think. Do you know how selfless to say, do you know what? You're seeing someone do something And even if you're talking from a good place,
right,
you know, you're seeing them go towards the proverbial cliff where right, they're going to hurt themselves.
Oh, it's awful.
Yeah.
That's
so
the worst
do
part.
You act out of love? Do you act because they're related to you or they're not related to you? You know them, you don't know them. Anyone that you see, you're meant to just act out of love as if you would love yourself. That's a very, very hard thing to do. And I think that's the core of most religions. Mm. You know, I was brought up Christian. So in that religion, I think that is the key thing, yeah, but it's not really always looked at. It's you worship on a Sunday, you worship on a Saturday, you're wearing white, you're in black, you're this or you're it's there's so many other things that distract from that.
You can miss the love bit sometimes,
which is the main bit, I think.
Yeah, it's funny, you know, you hear about people, if it's somebody that's Christian being angry at somebody that's gay.
Yeah,
people that are going against the rules that they believe exist in the Bible or in any book, in any religious book.
Yeah.
So they get angry and they might want to, like, I don't know, chop the head off or something like that.
Yeah.
But if the belief is you want everybody to go to heaven and be happy, why wouldn't you just become concerned?
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably even more annoying when people are concerned about you because you're gay, which is ridiculous.
Which is
but
silly, again, I just think, you know, why do we feel the need to judge people?
Yeah.
Why?
Teach people.
You're living
and
your
say,
life.
I know what's right and you're actually wrong and I know the right way.
You should be living the way I want you to live, even though you weren't born in my house, you haven't lived my life, you haven't walked my life, you're not in my body, you don't know how I feel, you don't know what I... So to me, again, it comes back to it. Just love the person. That's it. It's not even about necessarily right or wrong.
Even
just
if
love.
They've done you wrong.
Yeah, just love. Just love.
See,
and it's hard.
Nice
what I mean is, it's as a human, it is so hard to do.
Yeah,
you know. But if any time you find yourself going to that negative point, or going to judge someone, or going to make a criticism, you just think, do you know what though?
Yeah.
Let me put myself in that person's shoes, and let me just try and display some love, regardless. Yeah. You know, because another thing we do is we always try and think we know it all. I don't think for
don't
one
know anything,
second
do
that,
we?
I know it all. not at all.
We really don't know anything. We're just making it up.
Exactly. So I think the main thing is to accept that you don't know everything, and just be open.
Do you think you learned most of this through the church? It's hard to say because both your parents were pastors.
No, do you not know? I think a friend of mine, we were talking about religion at one point, and he said, yeah, but do you realize that if you're brought up in a Muslim household, do you know that you'd be a Muslim? I'm like,
yeah,
it's actually true.
You totally
and if
would.
You're brought up in a Sikh household, do you know that you'd be Sikh? Yeah, it's true.
Yep.
You know? And I just think, honestly, I think I got my my broader view on things.
Yeah.
Just from travel. Honestly, traveling and talking to people from all backgrounds and all things, you realize, you know what? That's all it is. People trying to figure it out. And we're not here for long. So the ones who have gone before have tried to write down what they think and what they believe.
Yeah.
And then it's for you to then say, all right, cool. That's what they've seen. That's what, and most of what they've been through in life, you'll probably go through. So you take those lessons and you think, all right, how does that apply to me? And then what I'm seeing, you know, nowadays we're much more traveled than anyone, you know, 1,000 years ago or 300 years ago, because they would have lived in their spot. So now you're getting to go to Australia and then go to America and then go to Belize, right? And then see different people. And then you can realize, oh, actually, I can see where these people in this community were coming from. But now I've traveled and gone there and there and there. I can see, there's a common thread. And to me, it's we're all trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
You know, we're all trying to figure it out. Some people got
everyone
it more
just
right.
wants to be happy.
To be happy. There we go.
In their own way.
Is exactly that.
And that means something different to everybody.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's it's quite a simple thing. I feel like life is very, very simple, but
very
I
simple
do oversimplify stuff.
You oversimplify?
Yeah.
That is a free spirit, isn't it?
I can't help it. I just find it, it's comforting to me to oversimplify
but
stuff.
But you know what? Really, it is simple. It's just that we complicate things. Human beings, I think human beings, we are our own biggest problem.
Oh, yeah.
You know, life is pretty simple. I was at this might sound a bit, I don't know, silly, but I was at my friend's house. He's got a lovely, lovely house, loads of, you know, grounds, and, you know, he loves nature.
Yeah.
So we were eating food, really plush house. We were eating food outside. And then I was like, oh, what's that over there? He was like, oh, he's growing some vegetables. And then down at the bottom, he's growing some melons and tomatoes.
Oh,
and then
nice.
He's got some chickens over there. And then he goes, oh, I said, oh, what's that thing in the corner? He goes, oh, it's a compost. And it was like, oh, yeah, because, you know, obviously, you know, we eat and then the waste, we go and put it in there. And then, you know, the bacteria and the rest of it, they eat. And then
the circle of life.
Yeah, then we go and put it on the plants. The plants then take that what we think is rubbish crap, takes it in and then gives us some fruit, and then we go and grab the fruit and we eat it again. Life is really simple.
Yes.
It's when we try to mass produce everything and mass and just fulfill every need that we have and every want and desire that we have, then we start stamping on things and overusing things and exhausting, you know, nature's reserves. And yeah, it's just our own kind of greed. But the thing is, we're all guilty of it. You know?
We're kind of upsetting ourselves, I'd say.
But it's the world we live in, you know, and we're all guilty of it. You know, I do like my own, I do like to spoil myself sometimes as well. So,
totally.
You know, it's not to point with the finger. It's just, I just think it's just a fact.
You need a balance. You need the good and the bad.
Exactly.
I find that if you didn't have the bad, you wouldn't recognize the good.
Yeah. You need to go low so that when you come high, you feel, ah, do you know, this feels good up here.
Exactly. You know, they say that when you're happiest is when you're in nature. And you're a city boy. Do you feel like when you go out to, I don't know, Devon or wherever?
Oh, definitely.
Do you feel a sense of calm?
There's a time I was away from London quite a bit. I was in LA. I went to Australia.
Oh, did you like LA? Yeah. How was that?
No, do you know, I really liked LA. I did.
There's a lot of work
more
there.
From a work, more from a work perspective. Yeah. You know, a lot, obviously in the creative industries. A lot of music. There's acting. There's, you know, a lot of creative industries out there. So I did like it for that. But for nature, I did like... Australia was very nice. Thailand, I've been to. There's a
What's
few
your
different places.
Have you had a favorite?
A favorite? It's hard. Yeah. Do you know anywhere where there's a bit of water and some sand and some trees
beach.
And stuff? Well, no matter where I go, I still love coming back to London. I do.
But, it's home.
Yeah. But when you're away for a while in nature and you come back, you realize how concrete the city of London is. You realize, oh, it's quiet. There's quite a lot of stone, you know?
Yes,
so then when you leave and go around that nature, it feels nice. It feels like, okay, I'm made of this really, isn't it? So it feels...
Yeah, it's normal. It feels natural and normal to hear the birds.
Yeah, I mean, you're never not around nature with your 100 dogs and cats and parrots and snakes and fish.
I don't have parrots, but I did have a snake once.
You had a snake?
Yes. I called him Fluffy Schneebly.
Where did that name come from?
Well... I just thought it was funny to call him Fluffy because I was being silly. And the Schneebly thing came from, do you remember? I think it was Mr. Schneebly on School of Rock. Do you remember that?
Oh, yes. Okay, yes.
But then this German guy comes round to my house. Apparently, and I don't know if this is true or not. If anyone German is listening, tell me if this is true. Apparently that means penis.
Did you know this before you gave the name?
No.
You did.
No, I didn't.
You did.
I didn't.
Mr. Penis. That's what you called the long snake, right?
I can't believe
you
I
called
did
the
that.
Long snake
yes.
Mr. Penis.
And the thing is, it just got longer as well. It was terrible. And I don't know whether he was tricking me or something, the guy
Mr.
that came around.
Schneebly.
Maybe it's true, maybe it's not.
Wow. So what happened to Mr. Penis?
Well, I actually got scared of him. In the end, I got scared.
No, you can't. So it got longer and longer.
Yes, and I...
And because it kept on growing, you got scared.
No. It's because I kept watching it eat. So I, in my...
No, you kept watching the penis eat and get larger and larger until you got afraid.
That is not.
That's what you said.
The
Mr.
snake.
Schneebly.
The snake.
Okay, I won't say penis. Schneebly. You kept Mr. Schneebly. Kept on eating. All right. When I say I'm going to say Schneebly around Cody, and if he blushes, then I know what you guys call each other.
Oh my God, right? Isn't that terrible?
I know what you guys call each other.
I can't believe it. How could I make a mistake?
Okay.
So foolish.
Okay.
It was so funny though.
Okay.
But what happened was... I justified, obviously, feeding my snake little mice because I feed my dogs dog food. I'm a vegetarian. Don't eat meat, but I'm happy to cook it for you if you'd like some. I'm that type of vegetarian. It's up to everybody. So I was like, cool, it's all right. I'll buy these mice. It's all good. It's just the same as the dog food. It's just in one piece instead of smushed up. But I didn't, I couldn't do it. I mean, what? I did it, but I just felt so bad every time because you pull out this tiny little mouse and he's...
Is it? Alive?
No, he's not alive.
I was going to say.
No. He's frozen.
That's
he's
like
dead. He's okay. Long dead.
All right.
And you give the mouse to Mr. Schneebly, and then he comes along and he stalks it and goes around the back of it.
Even though
it's
dead.
Evil little bastard. Yeah. And he just attacks. And when I would like smoke weed at night, which is normally...
Yeah.
Every now and then I'll have a little puff of weed.
And every now and then? Or you sounded like every night. That's what you sounded
every
like. You
said, every now and then. At night time.
Every night at night time.
Right, I would watch this thing kill the mouse, and then I just got scared. But it's probably the paranoia from the spliff.
Okay,
probably. But anyway, now my friend Ree has it in the school, and all the kids hang out with Schneebly and take him outside.
You left the penis in the school. that's a bit off key if you ask me. But all right, I mean, if that's what you want to say. All right.
I think that this is a good example of how pets can give you happiness, don't you?
Yeah.
It's hard. It's hard to, you know, really have a loving relationship with a snake or a dragon or, you know.
A dragon.
You know what I mean a when dragon. I say dragon. I mean the little dragons that you find when you're on holiday and they follow you.
But lizard.
You know, like, yeah.
Lizards, yeah, okay. Yeah. The miniature
An iguana.
Lizards.
They look like dragons.
Oh, that open the, yeah.
They're terrifying.
So you don't like those, but you love
them.
No,
I love them. I just feel nervous around them. Okay. I feel like they are dragons, and they will, if they were bigger, they would kill you. Let me ask you a love question, actually, about your life.
Okay. I'm very private about my life, but go on, let's go.
Are you really?
I am super private.
Okay, then. Let's get in there. Right. Tell me about love in your life.
Tell me about
Be as
love.
Vague as you like. How important is love to you?
I think love is everything.
And has it given you... Oh, say that again.
No, I do. I think love is everything. When I say love, you see, as children, I think we're sold the wrong story on love.
Oh, really?
I do. I think, you know, definitely while I was growing up, it was probably a much more chauvinist period of human existence. But that whole, oh, you get up and you find someone and you propose and they love you and you love them and they stay at home and cook and you go out and work and all that stuff.
It's silly,
right?
Yeah.
And you see them and, oh my gosh, love at first sight and your heart beats and all that stuff.
That does happen though, Lamar.
I don't know. It's just my opinion, right? I think love is a decision. And it really is. Mm-hmm. You know, you decide, this is the person I want to grow old with. You decide, I like you as you are. Mm. What is it? Warts and all, you know? And it's like that John Legend song, All of Me Loves All of You.
Oh,
you know?
I love that. It's so true though, isn't it? Yeah.
Everything that's wrong and everything that's right, I decide that when I'm 97 on my rocking chair and I can't move, I want to look to the left and you're the person I want to see. You know? So it's a decision. But what I mean is, it's not an easy decision.
Mm. Not if they're being bastards.
But at the time that you decide to, they're not being bastards. Life is a journey. You got to accept that. Do you know what? The person you're with isn't perfect.
No.
They're not going to be perfect.
They're human.
And you have to allow yourself the room to not be perfect as well.
Mm.
You know? And if you can accept that, and again, it's like when I was saying earlier about love and just loving selflessly, if you can accept that the other person that you're with is not going to be perfect and you yourself, you're not going to be perfect, you afford yourself the room to grow. You're going to go through some hard shit.
Mm-hmm. That's
really
true.
Hard, you know?
Yep.
But
that's life.
I think, you know, if you're in it together and you can, for me, not making things this open stage for the whole world to look at and see, for me, works best because then it's a two thing. So you can bounce off them and they can bounce off you. And if you're wrong, you're wrong, but it doesn't mean you need to go and tell the world you're wrong. And if they're wrong, again, I'm not going to run out and tell the world. We're going to try and figure it out and deal with it.
You don't have to deal with everyone else's opinion, which makes things worse often.
Which makes things much worse because other people are coming from a different motive, with a different motive. You know, they're not actually in your shoes. So once again, you know, it comes down to judging as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the person you're with is probably the closest person that you're going to maybe judge or come to judgment because you've decided to be with this person.
Mm.
But you know, like I said, it's a hard decision. It's a nice one because you have the lows and the highs. I think a lot of people bail out on the first low.
Yeah, I'm that person.
And as a result, they don't get to
the
high.
It's not good.
You're the person to bail out on the first low.
Oh, yeah.
Is it?
I'm like, yep, don't like that. Bye.
No.
I'm kidding. See, I'm way more patient than I make out.
Yeah, I think you're patient.
But I think compromise is something that we should do, but only for the right one. We shouldn't just do it.
And there's the conundrum.
Just for everyone.
Though. Yeah. And there's the conundrum though, because who's the right one?
Yeah. Well, you feel
don't
it.
Know. I don't
feel
know.
It, in
well,
your
it depends.
Spirit.
You see, the feelings are funny things.
I know, they change.
If you go to the gym and you exercise and you train, and you're at the peak of your fitness, the morning feels great.
Mm.
You wake up in the morning, oh my gosh, it's a good day, the sun's shining, let's go for a jog. Yeah.
Yeah.
That same day, if you haven't trained for 6 months and you wake up on that same day, the sun's shining, but listen, you might go downstairs slowly.
Yes.
Stretch a little bit because your back's hurting. Have a cup of tea.
Avoid your trainers.
There, avoid. Thank you. So it's the same day, But yeah. that feeling on that day, it doesn't mean that day is any, that day is no worse than the same day if you were healthy, but it's just that that's how you feel that day. You know, you don't then just say, I'm selling my house, I'm changing country, because that one day you felt a bit of shit, you know? So, and I think that's what we do, you know?
Sometimes, yeah, you know? It's good to pull yourself together, isn't it?
But again, how long is a piece of string? How long is a piece of string? Because the reality is sometimes you are with the wrong person.
Yes.
You know, and if every day you're unhappy and every day, then maybe you've got to make a decision and move on, you know? I just think sometimes we can fall into the trap of what's right and what's wrong. I'm not sure that's the best way to approach things generally in life. You've got to just approach everything with an open mind. And then, you know, then you will find yourself in the right place eventually.
So when you say love is everything, I agree 1,000,000,000%. I think we do everything just because of love or the lack thereof. Yeah. Can everyone have that?
Oh yeah, definitely.
What if they feel like they can't? What would you say?
They can. It's free. You can.
How do you find that?
Do you know what it is?
If you're so tired and it's gone wrong so many times, what do you do with yourself?
Yeah. Do you know what it is? I think the first thing is defining it.
Okay.
I think, like I said earlier, we're largely sold the wrong story when we're growing up. So redefining that for yourself
through your parents or through TV,
just society, depending on the
poetry,
depending on the era that you depending. I don't know why I laughed when you said poetry, but yeah, depending on the era that you grew up, it's defined differently.
Yeah,
you know, what is beautiful in 1970 is what a person finds beautiful in 1970. Ask that same person in 1990.
Do you know what?
They probably find a certain aesthetic and certain person and then you come to now,
it's relative,
what is beautiful,
isn't it?
It's different. So depending on when you grew up and your definition of what was fed to you as what is right and what your life should be is different. But I just think once you get to an age where you can make decisions and you can be a bit more in touch with your surroundings and yourself, then you have an opportunity to redefine what love is for you, what happiness is for you. You know, and once you know what that definition is, then you can go about
finding
that. Yeah. But I think in all instances, it starts with loving yourself.
I knew that. You know? I just was hoping you would say that so much because I didn't want to be the one to say it.
Yeah. I think that's the most beautiful thing you can see.
It's so true, isn't
it? Yeah. I think that is the most beautiful thing you can see.
Yes.
When you look at someone, fat, thin, whatever the culture, whatever the background, whatever the color, when they really embrace themselves, like, do you know what? I love who I am. With no one, if I could be in a house on my own, I'm feeling myself. I'm feeling my own company. I'm feeling my own, the movies that I'm into, the books that I'm into, my own voice. I love me.
Yeah.
Then when you find someone else that also loves them, then you're on a good journey. You know?
They're easy to love then.
Yeah, they're much easier to love. And they just look more attractive. They're beautiful people. Mm-hmm. You just look at them and you're like, yeah, I want to be in the room with that person.
They're shining.
Yeah. And then once you're that pleasant thing to be around, you're going to attract what's right for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so hard when you get sad. And
yes.
I mean, I've been, all through all sorts of moments like that in my life where you're just like, oh, it's not working.
Yeah.
You know, this thing that I want is not coming you know, and then you just get less and less attractive actually to whatever it is that you're trying to attract, not to a person, but to whatever that thing might be, whether that's a job that you want. It doesn't really make a difference.
Yeah. It's another thing though, I do think is going back to like that thing of not judge. I do think that no one rule applies to all. Depending on your background, what you've experienced in life, what life has dealt you, you know, your parents or lack of or whatever.
Who do you get your advice from in your world?
Advice?
Yeah, like guidance if you're feeling
lost. You know, it's kind of different stuff. I'm quite observant.
Mm.
It's from all sorts. You know, I like poking people's minds and seeing what's behind them.
I've noticed.
And then
you're very good at it.
And then you make up what you think is right in your own mind, and you know, you learn how to agree and how to how to agree to disagree. And but yeah, still, you might disagree with someone totally, and but still just take one little nugget from what they've said, because you think, oh, actually, and then, you know.
That's so yeah, important, especially yeah, now when people are so opposite.
You can't have an opinion now. Oh my Lord.
My goodness me.
Shut down. No
this,
discussion.
This, the cancel culture.
I think dialogue is always the best thing. For me, if you're doing something which society deems as incorrect or wrong, or someone just disagrees with, I think as long as it's not affecting someone else,
yeah,
yeah, then it's kind of you know, it's your life. I
it's
don't know if you want to throw yourself off a bridge, it's up to you, you yeah, know. But it's when it affects other people,
yeah,
especially people who are helpless,
yeah,
then I'd say no, you know, please, someone needs to judge this person, you know?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. But, you know,
well, if protections you make me, need to be put in place.
Yeah. But yeah, if you make a mistake, or if you, when I'm saying mistake, I mean regarding opinions on something. Yeah. So yeah, if you have an opinion on something and your opinion differs to someone else's opinion, that's up for discussion then. Discuss, yeah, and maybe both parties can learn. Maybe one is right. Maybe one's wrong. Maybe there's a bit that they can take from each.
A bit of both.
Yeah. If there's no dialogue and just saying, yo, delete. You don't agree with me, so you're just deleted.
So you don't exist.
Yeah. I mean, that is
like the pinnacle of bullying.
Yeah. Yes.
That is so, so nasty.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah,
so mean. And
the
unkind.
Worst thing with it all is you don't learn. You don't learn anything.
You just shut your eyes, shut your ears and go, yeah, la, 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 la. Yeah. I'm not listening to
in a
you.
A little cocoon.
It's stupid.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
Ah, I hope that stops soon.
Yeah, well.
That's a weird little trend.
I think it's human nature. I think it comes from like back in the day, you know, humans, it's like, I don't want to take it back to like animals and that, but at the same time, it is kind of relevant in that it's kind of like protection. You look for similarities, you look for differences to separate and make groups so that then you're protected, you feel protected. Oh, these people are like me, so I'm protected over here.
Oh, so there's comfort in that,
yeah,
to be part of a group.
Yeah, part of a group, yeah, that believes, yeah, yeah, this one thing. So that means I'm part of this family, so I know who I am, I've got I know my place, I'm in a position, I'm safe.
And you then want to fight for the group.
Yeah.
Which will kind of make you feel more important within the group.
Yeah. Whereas, you know, if you lived in nature and, you know, around caves, then all right, cool, that would make sense, because then yeah, you're safe, you know, you've got people who, you know, your hierarchy, you know where you are.
Mm.
If you're just this free mind running around, then you're more susceptible to attack and whatever else that might happen. So
and
I just think
all
that's
sorts of lovely things too,
and lovely things as
yeah,
well, yeah,
but we're not brave enough to do that.
Exactly.
What a shame.
Yeah,
but we can be.
But I don't know the economics of it as well, man. As you get older, life throws its own responsibilities on you. So that child in you, it starts to...
No, we must keep him alive.
You, look, you've got one. You're cooking one.
I
so
know.
It's like when that one's 17.
When this one pops out, and maybe I'll stop being a child. Possibly.
I dread to tell you.
I think that might happen.
A little bit of that's going to stop, because
that sounds
imagine
not
though, look, that child, boy or girl, healthy child is going to come out and at 17, 15, say, Mum, I'm going out. I'll be back at 1 a.m.
Oh my God.
And you're like, you remember every single bad place that you went to. And you're yeah, like, oh my gosh. Are you okay? Stop calling me, Mum. It's 10. You called me 7 times. I know. I'm
oh my God. Do you know what? I've got a plan
just,
for that moment.
There. What? What's your
my
plan?
Mum did this to me. Very, very smart.
She drove around behind you silently.
Kind of. So what she did, she would buy me the alcohol.
Okay.
So that's good, because she knows what I'm drinking then. Yeah. She's like, I'll buy you one bottle of cider. Obviously, I drank other things.
Six that you bought that you drank inside, yeah.
But, you know, she was like, this is it. This is fine to drink. Don't drink too much of it.
And, yeah, Mum, whatever.
Yeah, okay, whatever. And then she'd say, Anne, guess what? I'm going to pick you up. And I say, no, don't worry. It's fine. You don't need to pick me up, Mum. Oh, we're going to get home another way. No, I'm going to pick you up. But Mum, we're going to be out until 4 in the morning. You're going to be tired. She goes, darling, I will always wake up. And I will always pick you up no matter what time it is, no matter where you are. So how can I argue with that? She was so lovely. And she was doing it because she wanted to know where we were and where we ended up.
But it didn't stop you doing whatever you were going to do growing up.
But it did keep me safe.
But would you have been safe without that?
No,
probably,
probably not.
Would have.
I would have ended
up. Although, do you know what? You are a free spirit.
Yeah, I would have not been. I would have gone off on a train somewhere.
Josh, why does it sound like a long distance call? I mean,
house.
Just in Vegas, someone said I should just come and I'm here and yeah. It's really nice. There's so many lights. No, just come home now. I'm fine, Mum. Just leave me alone.
Oh, God. Yeah, it's terrifying, isn't it? But it's so exciting. The world is so exciting.
Yeah.
And all the mistakes you can make are exciting. So you kind of want to make those mistakes in an environment where you're not going to like actually really make a bad mistake and end up in jail or dead or whatever. How's parenting been for you?
Parenting is great. Parenting is really, really cool. Do you know what? It's, I don't know, for me, a lot of people said, oh, when you have a child, it's going to be so amazing. And they said it so many times. I was like, oh,
this is going to be
such an anticlimax because everybody keep on
saying it. I know, they keep bigging it up.
Yeah, but it really was that. It's the first time.
Aww.
And I won't say during pregnancy. I guess the pregnancy is more of the ladies, the ladies' thing. She's growing the child. She's going through all the feelings. She's feeling the
everything.
Yeah, but
because we're sick, and then you have to deal with us being sick.
Which is hard. Yeah, but we're the satellite, really. We're satellite, you know, satelliting around you, floating around. Oh, what do you want? What do you need?
Yeah,
okay.
It's nice.
Oh, is it kicking? What does kick feel like? Right, spit, nah, whatever. You guys get the great bit of that. You also get the joy of childbirth.
Yeah.
But
the joys.
I will say once the child does arrive, it's the first time, and I couldn't, even if someone had told me, I couldn't have said it before, but really is the first time you look at something and love something more than yourself, you know? Because you do love and you love people but really it's still kind of from a selfish place because—
Yeah, because you want them in your life.
Yeah, I'll never forget one guy. Shall I say? A friend I know.
Okay, right. a friend.
No, it's just a funny joke. And he said to me, oh, do you know what? we were talking about children. He said, do you know what? Now, when you have your child, you just know about it. Like, you look at the child and it's like, yeah, you do anything. If there was a burning house, your child's in it. Your child's in house on fire. Boom, you're running it. You're not even looking at where's the safety door, whatever. You're going in through the first open window, jumping in. Run with the child. Oh, safe.
Right? Yeah.
And he said, but, if I came home, he said, if I came home and someone said, listen, your wife's inside, the fire's in. He goes, I'd run up and be like, babes, can you jump? Are you sure you can't get out the window? Are you sure? Okay, I'm coming in. I've called them. I'm coming in. Oh, the door. I was laughing.
That's not true.
But what he was getting at was—
You've burst my fairy tale bubble.
No, it's not. Of course you would run straight
in. Of course
you
would. I can see that you would.
No, I would. 100% I would. But what he was getting at is it's a non-thought. With your child, it's a non-thought.
Yeah.
And he goes, there's a cognition process that happens with everything else that's not your child. So,
I was listening to, do you know Jordan Peterson?
Why do I?
Oh, he is like super controversial, but so clever.
Okay.
Right. I have to show you some of his stuff. He makes you think.
I feel like I've seen some bits because I don't know.
Yeah. Brilliant mind.
Okay.
And he was talking about, he was having actually quite an emotional interview. And he's, you know, very like data focused. But he was talking about the joys that people have when they have a baby.
Yeah.
And he really upsets a lot of feminists with most of the things that he says, which is quite interesting. But he was saying that what we need to do is kind of go back to, and I'm going to misquote him, of course, because I can't remember any of the bloody quotes, but the general gist of it was, have babies. It will make you have meaning. He kept saying there's meaning in that. There's meaning in like reproducing. And there was a lot put on it. And I don't know. I feel like there's so much joy that you can have without having babies. Of course.
Yeah. Again, I think.
Of course. But, you know, there's so much that you can have with having it because this is nature at its best, really. It's nature at work.
Yeah.
But really, some people just don't want that. And I completely understand why.
Again, I think the biggest mistakes we've made as human beings is when we try and give a blanket rule to everything.
Exactly. You know? Yeah, so that's what it comes down to.
I think as much as me, from my own perspective, in my own life, with my unique set of circumstances which have happened to me, yes, it's a lovely thing. You know? But I might have been born in a totally different environment where I thought, you know what, that's the last thing I want. And I want to party until I'm 97.
It's true.
Or I just want to be alone because I just don't like people. I think people should be free to
but if you're
live
alone,
the life that they want.
If you're alone, then where's the love?
They may just love themselves. They may be totally happy with loving themselves and loving all the friends that they have around them and celebrating and drinking and
then
telling stories.
Alone.
No, they're not. They're telling stories. Yeah. Or they may just be, what's it, a recluse. They may just be a recluse. They may just
what
love
about
a bit
those
of TV.
Monks, the yeah. ones that sit and meditate.
Yeah.
For like 25 years.
Yeah, I went to, I mean, it's nothing like what you just said, but I did go to Thailand once and I remember part of that trip, I just went off to where like, there was a lot of monks there.
Yeah.
And I went off to near one of the temples. I just stayed on my own for a while. It was so
nice.
So nice. I think I was on my own just for the whole trip anyway. But sometimes just
you went
being
there
on
your own.
Yeah, sometimes just being on your own, it's such a lovely thing if that's needed at that time in your life, you know. So again, I just think this whole blanket rule thing and trying to make everyone fit into one box, find what makes you happy.
Yeah.
Take a cup of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And drink.
That's so true.
You know?
Yeah. You just have to figure it out.
Yeah.
That's what we're all trying to do.
Yeah, that's life's trick, you know. I think my son said to me the other day, he said, oh, Dad, like, yeah. He said, what's been your best part of growing up?
Oh, wow.
So far?
Good question.
Yeah. And I said to him, do you know, the funny thing with life is retrospect is a funny thing. You learn the lesson after you've been through it.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's a parent's job to try somehow to subtly pass on what knowledge you have got. Mm-hmm. But the reality is you realize the best bit after you've lived it.
Oh, it's so true.
So how much you appreciate it in the moment is kind of is a lot of times wasted, you know. Mm-hmm. If you think back to your happiest times, you think, oh, if I just embraced it more, or if I'd known this was going to be the height, or if I'd known this was going to be the thing that's made me the happiest. But also trying to kind of accepting and being comfortable or content with the fact that the best might still be yet to come.
Mm.
So that optimism is nice to hold on to. Mm. You know, it keeps me at least looking forward and thinking, yeah, do you know what's happened was great and I didn't know it was going to happen, but it did. So I think what's going to happen in the future could be even better.
Can you pinpoint your best moment?
My best moment? Absolute best. I don't know.
Or moment in time. It's so hard. These questions are ridiculous because how the hell can you answer that?
Yeah, I'd say,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, do you know? I'd say, do you know what? If I'm, I've been very fortunate in that the life I've lived, I've kind of exceeded my own expectations on a lot of things. Mm. I would still say, and not being cheesy, had the two children that I've had, like those two moments, absolutely. Definitely
top.
The top, yeah.
Oh,
it's
so nice.
But if it's life moments from a selfish kind of like point of view, you know, I just, it's been so unexpected for me. The whole musical journey has been amazing.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, seeing people that I would never think that I would have seen, speaking to like traveling, but then I used to like traveling and then like going to find a local person.
Yeah.
And have a proper in-depth conversation. Sometimes those conversations are just great, you know, because it's a whole different perspective and a whole different, you know, point of view. So I like those moments, those quiet moments where you're chatting with strangers.
A real moment.
Yeah, real moments, chatting with strangers in a foreign place and then just thinking back to where you started and where you are and you think, wow, do you know? Mm-hmm. And also just remembering how vast the world is. Like it's enormous.
Yeah.
You know what? Yeah.
Travel is so important.
Yeah.
I think travel helps us be grateful.
Yeah. You know, travel doesn't necessarily mean just jumping on a plane. I mean, allowing your mind to travel beyond the limitations of your immediate environment. Mm. You know, you can do that via the internet. You can do that. I mean, if YouTube was around and I had the same mind that I have now when I was growing up, I don't know. I'm a very inquisitive person. So my parents wouldn't have been able to get me out of the room because you can learn so much. Anything you want to learn, you can find the information somewhere. So just allowing your mind to travel, understand other people, understand the world. You know, I was saying to someone on one of my previous podcasts, I think it was Gary Trainor, I was saying, you know, we spend so much time in this body that we live in and we don't even really know it. We don't even really give it the respect or anything that it deserves. It's such a, we are so special and so unique just by being. So taking the time to appreciate and understand who we are and this world that we live in and how great it is.
Yeah.
I think that's the way to kind of like expand your mind and
It's kind of amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It can be quite overwhelming to even begin to think about.
Yeah, it's huge. It's huge. And we don't even, we know the tip. Imagine in 1,000 years what we're going to know.
I know.
And what we're going to be
we
able
can't.
To.
We can't. Our brains aren't big enough.
We look back at like cavemen and say, oh, they used to scratch on stone. In 1,000 years or 500 years, they're going to look back at what we're doing right now and think, they used to scratch on.
Yeah.
they used to use iPhones. So primitive.
I know, how silly.
Yeah. And that's still just using what? I don't know how much. Yeah. We use a small percentage of our brain, right? We don't even use the full thing. If we were to use the, we've got so much capacity.
Even now, the way we record is totally different to how it was done, what, 30 years ago?
Yeah. Michael Jackson's era. They would have had to be in an
orchestra, would have to get a little
seven
tape.
People with wires and cables.
Like, and cut the tape with like scissors.
Yeah, there'd have to be a room next door full of the machinery to power this stuff. So
it's totally different now.
Yeah.
I know your job is like, obviously, happy making. I mean, it's music. Yeah. But now it's turned into different things. So obviously your voice and your music has given joy throughout the world and to yourself and probably to your family and certainly, you know, your immediate because they're so proud of you, of course. So there's a lot of happy making in that. But now it's kind of, it's gone out into different things. You're doing your radio show, you're doing your podcast.
That's right, yeah.
Why do you do it?
Why?
What's the reasoning behind these little projects that you have, because you're so passionate and you're very focused and into what you do when you're doing it.
Yeah.
There's got to be some sort of like drive.
Yeah. Do you know what it is? I think I'm a bit obsessive anyway. If I say I'm going to do something, then I need to do it. And I need to do it fully, properly. Otherwise, I'd just rather not do it.
Yeah. Okay.
A bit of a perfectionist in that way. However,
you're very focused. I think it's quite cool. Well, that's why you get things done. And there's a reason why you're like that.
Yeah.
But I wonder if you know why.
Do you know what? I don't know. I just think, honestly, with me, it builds up. I need to express and I need to get stuff out of me. I would say that I'm probably a bit, emotional is the wrong word because emotional sounds like, oh, you're crying all day. It's not that. But even when I was in school, like if I had friends or I was always the person to go over and find out why someone's not feeling right or why someone's a bit down or help someone with their homework or whatever because I feel that maybe they're being picked on or, you know, that kind of stuff. Yep. That was always me. Mm-hmm. And I'm able to kind of like get that emotiveness out in music and in songwriting. And I find when I'm not creating or just not getting ideas out, because I'm always full of them, then I kind of, I'm a different person. Yeah. So I like to get it out of me. You know, I like you, I like to find what makes people tick.
Yeah.
I like to find what makes people smile.
Yeah.
I like to try and impress upon people, you know, and, I feel like even things like the podcast, the Lamar Show, I like try and just learn about other people's journeys and see what, again, for me, I feel like I get, it's kind of a selfish thing really. I get what I want for me in that I learn a bit more about the person and again, a bit more about how their mind works. You know, for me, that's where I get my enjoyment from.
It's a circle.
And then hopefully, you know, I've learned a lot of what I've learned in my life by looking at other people's journeys. So I find that's the way I like to learn. Mm. And I feel a podcast is a way for other people to share their stories. So hopefully other people learn. And I learn something in the process as well.
Mm.
Yeah. And then obviously music is just me getting out the demons inside for other people to for other people to relate to. Yeah.
Oh, it's so much love in your songs though.
Oh,
there's no demons in there.
Oh,
it's just lovely.
Oh.
To be an artist right now is kind of a bit of a conundrum.
It is.
Yeah.
You have to mix so many things. That's like you even said the radio show, Magic Soul, is the same.
Yeah.
You know, I like it because, again, I'm celebrating music and expressing myself. But I think today's artist, today's, you know, a public figure or whatever, you do need to embrace more things as well, just in the environment that we're in. But I think it's healthy as well. If you trap yourself in one thing, it gets boring after a while.
So true.
Yeah, I've been doing music for so have you for ages.
Yeah.
So sometimes it gets like, you know, sometimes honestly, else. Sometimes I don't want to sing.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the truth. And no matter where I go, I'll be like, oh, Yuluma, do you want to sing? I don't want to sing right now.
Not
I don't.
Today.
That's the truth. I really, right now, today, on this one day, I don't want to. I just want to sit down here.
I just have a nice chat.
Yeah, which is cool, which should be cool. Yeah.
It should be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I wish we had more time with you, but I know you have to go. I've made you late now by 15 minutes.
All it's all good. I sent the text through. I said, look, I'm
did you?
This time,
so you were like, God, this Josh, he talks so
much. No, never.
How
never,
annoying.
Never.
Well, it's lovely to hear all of your beautiful thoughts.
Thank you. I don't know how much of that was happiness. I think I touched on happiness, right?
Very helpful. The whole thing is happiness.
The whole thing was happiness.
And I mean, okay, the one question that's the most important question is, are you happy?
Am I happy? Yes, I am very, very happy.
Oh, he's lovely.
Depends what day it is. ask me tomorrow. Might get a different answer. But right now, doing this podcast, talking to you, I'm happy.
I like how the moody version of you is northern.
Yeah, it's the northern.
Brilliant. Oh, dear. Oh, God. Oh, we shed a tear.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lamar.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Kay Adams, and to be honest, I'm not so good with the aging process, so I enlisted my old chum, the filter-free Cara McKenzie, to advise.
Could you imagine being a porn star? The room would need to be really hot for me to strip off.
To be honest, she's not much help, but she is rather amusing. And along with some great guests, Joe Brand, Andy Oliver, Anton Dubek, Ruth Langsford, and Craig Revel Horwood, darling, we are learning how to be 60. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.